Welcome to the Focus on Christ podcast.
I'm Jack.
And I'm John. And we're on a mission to help you focus on Christ.
Amen. There you go. I was going to say something, but
you
I was, but I didn't want to break your thought.
We're still getting used to the new name. You know, I felt like, you know, if we're all about focusing on Christ, we've got to the name to Focus on Christ podcast. There you go.
So, you know, there was a time in my life years and years ago that I got really convicted about that, about putting Christ first, mm-hmm. making sure that Christ is in you and owns everything that you have. And so I began to put His name on all of my things, you know. It's like I had a baseball glove, softball mitt, and I put Jesus on it instead of Jack, you know. That's neither here nor there, but I can just remember going through a spell where you really think close about who owns what mm-hmm. and how long are you going to have it, and it's not long, and so it's just loaned to you, and so it's all His anyway. So
all you have to do is go to an estate sale.
yeah.
You know,
see how cheap all that was.
Well, yeah. I mean, somebody took years to accumulate all this stuff, and then you got the stuff their kids didn't want, and there's still a ton of it to sell. You know, it's all very temporary, and so that's part of the reason why you need to focus on Christ.
Amen. Amen. And kind of what we're going to talk about
right.
in this session, yeah.
So, well, Jack, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Well, you sent me a scripture
this
morning in Isaiah 26, and I think you had verse 3, but I kind of like verse 4 too. So, yeah, let's add verse 4 to verse 3, and I think maybe we'll have some interesting things to share. Verse 3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Verse 4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting, everlasting rock. You can depend upon him. He is able. He is capable." And we are not.
Actually, one of my favorite worship songs right now. Yeah, and when I say favorite worship song, I don't mean that to say like, oh, I really like this song kind of thing. But it's a favorite because of what it speaks mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. And it's an elevation song, More Than Able. If you've not listened to that song, I encourage you to. My daughter and I got to lead that together a few weeks ago. And
that makes it even more special.
Yeah. Just such a great thing, because he is more than able.
Well, one of the things that, you know, has always been kind of clear is that we don't know what the future is, and nobody knows the future. Nobody knows the future. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, there used to be these people that, you know, you knew that Jean Dixon, I think was this lady's name, that wrote a book about the future, and people that supposedly are clairvoyant. And I always thought it was kind of odd that they would write a book and they would say, "She was right 10% of the time." You know, isn't that amazing? I said, "Yeah, that would be amazing. That was a lucky guess to get 10%. But it's good to know that we can trust in the Lord forever, because He's right 100% of the time, every time. And He holds the future. And if we hold Him, then we don't have to worry about knowing what the future is. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know the circumstances around it. So we're to get ready and trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not into our own understanding.
What you said brings me to an interesting thought, you know, because when we talk about prophecy, you'll see an article in the news or something about something that's happened today, and they found an article from like the 1920s or sometime mm-hmm. way back where somebody predicted that thing.
Yeah.
And they'll say it like, "Oh, this guy knew the future." Well, here's the thing. There were probably, for whatever it is, thousands of predictions.
Sure.
One of those is probably going to be right.
One of them is probably going to be right. Yeah. And then blind squirrel finds a nut in the woods every once in a while.
Right. Or you know, the guy that says the broken clock is still
going to be right twice a day.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's
just luck or happenstance,
battery powered, and then it's totally dead.
Then it's so dead once a day.
But when we're talking about biblical prophecy, you know, it's not a function of it being right one time.
Yeah. Every time.
It's been right so many times. Yeah. And I've heard people say, "Well, you know, Jesus did these things to, you know, fulfill prophecy. He did that thing because he wanted to fulfill that prophecy. And I'm like, yeah, that works to a point, except for how did he determine when and where he was going to be born? Mm-hmm. And if it's a ruse, he went through it all the way to the dying part.
Right.
And then you got the whole issue of, well, he rose again from the dead. And yeah, you can argue that and figure out ways to try and explain it away, but there's a lot of explaining away that you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, which is, who are you to either to explain it or to explain it away? I mean, I guess people in their own minds want to feel good about, you know, themselves and their own mind process. But once again, you know, I do a lot of funerals, mm-hmm. funeral services, memorial services yeah. for people. And, you know, it's just really interesting the different kinds of lives that different people have lived. And the way that the people who are left behind that are close to them feel about their life and about the loved one. And they will speak, you know, nicely of them, certainly. And I always ask the question, was God a part of their life? And get varying answers. But it's interesting, John, that there are many, many, many people who had God absent in their life and yet still believe that, you know, they're in heaven or they're wherever, you know, in a good place. And that's interesting because you cannot trust in yourself or your own knowledge, your own understanding, or your knowledge of or your no knowledge of the future. It doesn't really matter because God is in control of it all and he is sovereign. So that's the only help and hope that I can give. God is good, God is love, and God will do what's right. And so trust in God, not in your understanding right. of the loved one or your memory of the loved one, but trust in God. That's what you can do for hope for the future. So anyway.
Oh, I think that's the most important piece of it
yeah.
because the reason why we trust in God in the middle of, well, it's not the reason, but it's the reason why we get the peace when we trust in God mm-hmm. in the middle of the storm or the middle of whatever difficulty it is because he is our rock. He's our firm foundation. He's
an everlasting rock.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not going away. It's the reason Jesus was able to sleep soundly in the middle of a storm
mm-hmm.
on a boat. You ever try sleeping on a boat?
I don't even like to stay awake
on
a boat.
You can try sleeping on a boat. You know, when it's calm, you got to be really tired, I guess, to do it. But here's Jesus sleeping on a boat in a storm.
Right. Right.
That's because he had the peace.
Oh, absolutely.
Of God. Yeah. He knew he was in control of the right. storm before he ever calmed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, notice that it does not say here, trust in your own faith.
Mm.
Never does it say trust in your faith. Well, faith is trust. But so you put your trust or faith in God, not in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people make a mistake. They may not know that they're doing that. But if they don't find a solid foundation or they don't find help or hope in the midst of the storm, perhaps it's because they're trusting in their own faith and their own faith is going to be weak from time to time, just like Peter's was or anyone else's was. So that's why it says trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding because, you know, you don't have it. And in
right.
a lot of situations, you don't know. You just absolutely don't know.
I want to tell a little story, if I can. You know, this past weekend, Amy and I went to the American Christian Fiction Writers Conference in St. Louis, and also participated in their Story Fest conference, which is for readers. So one is for writers and one's for readers. And part of the reason I went is I had this particular agent that I wanted, a literary agent that I wanted to talk to. I've been working on this fantasy story, and I met with the agent, and I felt like before it happened that, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed either way, you know, with this, with the outcome. If he wants to, you know, see the whole manuscript or wants to represent me or not. But when I got there and I met with him, he had really good, not good things to say, like, oh, oh, this is perfect. I'll take it. Give it to me right now. No, he had good things to say in terms of the critique, but he found some immediate holes in what I had done that to me looked okay. And that's kind of like what you're saying about, you know, trusting in your own faith. Yeah. It's like me trusting in my own works there. And here I am in front of the master. I mean, he's an established, you know, highly regarded literary agent. I highly regard him. But anyway, so he's evaluating my work and he says, yeah, there's a lot of work you've got ahead of you here. And, but what got me is when I looked at my work then from his perspective, what made me feel disappointed was I didn't like my own work. I saw the holes that he saw. I saw the things that needed to be fixed. I saw the mountain of work that's ahead of me to do it. Now, that mountain of work is nothing compared to the mountain of work it would take to make us right in terms of our faith and our righteousness. But God takes that work on himself. So now I'm going to take it a little further because I started having these serious doubts about myself as a writer. And of course, you know, when you're a writer, one of the things you do is you write. So I just wrote down some of these thoughts, and it was a very restless night of sleep for me. Okay. Very restless. And so I titled this tiny little thing here, Whispers of Doubt. Doubt prods with feelings more than words, like a quiet, anonymous voice behind the curtain. Pay no attention to that voice behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the pebble in your shoe. But that jagged fleck of stone digs into my soul as doubts run and walk and pause and dwell within me. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You don't belong. Those are the doubts that are getting in my mind. Okay, I'm here with all these great authors at this conference. This is what I'm thinking. My mind cannot rest for the relentless buzzing of doubt like tiny mosquitoes in my ear. When I went to Haiti after the earthquake, it was so hot in this little house that we were sleeping in, you know. It's just like 9,500 degrees in the daytime, and it gets down to about 75. But in this little stone house with the metal roof, it doesn't get down to 75. And so I'm sleeping out on this little back, quote, screened-in back porch, okay? And I've got one of those little sleeping bags that, like, comes all the way up and just leaves your face, you know. It's like, and but even that was still cooler than being in the house. So I'm laying out there like this, and I'm still struggling to sleep because what I'm hearing is this little.
Then it goes.
and you know, and these are like the tiniest mosquitoes you'll ever see. But it was like all night. I'd smack one, and then
just smacking yourself,
right? And then who knows how you know many seconds or minutes or whatever. And then that's what this doubt was like. My mind cannot rest for the relentless buzzing of doubt, like tiny mosquitoes in my ear. When I finally surrender and open my eyes. I didn't surrender to sleep. I just gave up on trying.
Yeah.
When I finally surrender and open my eyes, I open the verse of the day. I use the Bible Gateway app, okay? And it has a verse of the day. So I use the verse of the day. I click on that. This is the verse that comes up. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." The ancient words of the prophet Isaiah do not shout. They do not buzz or repeat. They rest in my soul and fill this drained vessel. no room for doubt. God himself in me whispers without words, and I hear his heart, you belong. And when God speaks, doubt is silent. Doubt will try again, no doubt. No doubt screaming, but the powerful whisper of God will find me again and again and say, you belong.
Amen and amen. That's good, John. Yeah. Gotta put that in a book.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, I'm thinking as you were talking, I'm thinking about Paul.
Right.
And, you know, we were in Philippians recently, and there is a verse in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, Philippians 1:21, I think. And to live is Christ, to die is gain. And sometimes within the context of living, you know, it gets very difficult to keep your attention or your eye on him mm-hmm. and your hope on the eternal future. And I think Paul was in that kind of situation. When he was in Philippi, he went to jail for a day. Mm-hmm. Remember, they started singing at midnight and they were out by the next morning because angel and the earthquake and all that stuff come. And then when he's in Rome, he's in prison for, what, 3.5 years? Something like that. Now, why did God get Paul out of prison in one day in Philippi? And why did he have to stay in prison for 3.5 years in Rome? Well, you know, you might second guess yourself if you're the one that's in prison for 3.5 years. And I suppose a lot of people do. But if we look at hindsight, maybe what God was doing, he needed Paul out of prison in Philippi to preach. He needed Paul in prison in Rome for a period of time so he could write most of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. You know, so it just depends on what God is doing in your life and that we surrender to the will of God and be content in all things. And, you know, certainly not struggle in our faith, but let God use those sufferings and those difficult times to strengthen and build our faith. And that's hard to do, though, when you're right. In the middle of the jail sentence, you know, going through that.
He sometimes uses those times not just to strengthen your faith, but you're asking the why about Paul. He uses it to strengthen other people,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
think
sure.
about the Philippian jailer.
Yeah.
You know.
And his whole household.
Yeah. The Philippian jailer came to know Jesus and his whole household with him because of that prison break.
And
they didn't escape. You know, that was the thing, that the prison crumbled around them. And they're still here. And honestly, the miracle of that isn't just that God shook the walls and the prison fell, but that the other prisoners stayed too.
Yeah.
You know, because Paul says, we're all here.
We're all here.
Yeah.
A lot of power when what was going on.
Yeah.
And maybe that earthquake and they weren't hurt and the earthquake made them go, whoa, there's some power here, mm-hmm. right? Maybe we ought to stay around this guy, these two guys, Paul and Philip.
Yeah. I would love to know what the after story is beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to know, because, well, that Philippian jailer, he's got his sword drawn ready to kill himself.
Yeah.
Because he thinks the prisoners have escaped. And his penalty for if a prisoner escaped and you're a Roman jailer.
Oh, you're dead.
Yeah, you're dead, because execution is what's coming. So he's ready to kill himself. And, well, then he winds up, of course, letting them out of prison, so like they didn't escape, but he still let him out. And it's like, did he do that on his own authority? Is there a part of the story we're missing there? How did all that transpire? And then what happened after?
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things, I don't know if I'll be talking about that when I get to heaven and wondering, you know, but it makes me wonder.
Well, way long time ago when I used to be at Mount Pleasant, we used to do the productions. One of the things that got kind of special to me was to go through the scriptures, all of the gospels, and make mm-hmm. sure that you're portraying all of the details of the scripture properly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just these little details, you know, that you'll see and that happen. And you see maybe the old movies and you get to the tomb and the tomb is empty and lo and behold, the soldiers are sleeping, you know, at the tomb so that the angel can come and blah, blah, blah. Well, I found out there's no way that the soldiers were sleeping. They would have been killed had they been sleeping at their post, right?
Right.
And so they weren't sleeping. They encountered, you know, some pretty amazing power in God and Christ resurrecting from the dead. So anyway, so we didn't have the soldier sleeping. Mm-hmm. You make sure you look at those details and what God is doing. So he did in that jailbreak is just nothing short of wonderful and miraculous. And that the jailer would take them all to his house, you know. I mean, it really is an interesting and curious story. He must have really been affected.
Well, yeah.
You know, by, must have been. He obviously was, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't think it was because of their singing either.
At midnight, after half of their skin was off their back from the beating they took. Yeah.
Wow.
It would have been tough.
So, well, it was kind of bonus that, you know, this verse had the whole fixed on you thing in that, because, you know, not only did it speak to me in that moment when I read the verse, but it's like, that's what we keep pounding is fix your eyes on Jesus.
Well, you think about yourself, you know, I think about myself. I mean, when I think about myself, I think that I'm hard-headed sometimes. I'm real slow to comprehend sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes I don't understand things, and you know, I struggle. Again, it was something that I struggled with a long time ago, and you know, it's just like really kind of discouraging when you kind of focus on yourself and see the weaknesses that you do have. And if you start looking at other people, how they're seeing you and the weaknesses they're seeing that you aren't, it gets kind of discouraging. But the thing is, God is faithful. He's reliable. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. And so the scripture keeps trying to tell us to fix our eyes on him. Get your eyes off yourself. You know, it says in Colossians, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Don't set your mind on the problem or your lack of faith or your little faith or the difficulties or, you know, what's going to happen. You know, I can promise you God's working in your life and God's working in this world. He's involved. And, you know, it's just amazing. Get in on the work that God's doing. Just get in on a part of what he is accomplishing and what he's doing. So someday it needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do make it, I think, sometimes too hard on ourselves in the sense that we want to take ownership of some of that work, you know. And I think we've got to understand, no, God's done the heavy lifting, you know. Doesn't mean we're not going to have storms. Doesn't mean we're not going to, you know, deal with invasions like the Israelites were dealing with here. But it does mean that God's our foundation, and he's going to endure through all of it, no matter what it is. And there's a great peace in that, knowing that no matter what happens, he is there to guide us through it, even when things go horribly south for us. One of the authors at this conference that won an award. It was a most emotional moment for her. And I'm sitting just a little ways behind her husband. And we're in this big auditorium full of tables, all of these authors and readers and literary agents and acquisition editors and all this stuff are here. And they're announcing these awards. And she gets this award for an accomplishment with this book. And so she goes up front and she's telling the people thanks. And they lost their son this year.
The author?
The author.
Mm.
And, of course, that's a horrible...
Absolutely.
...horrible tragedy. And she's trying to talk and she's starting to have trouble with it. And her husband is holding the phone to record. He's recording it. And I can hear him, you know, saying, you got this, babe, you know. And, she doesn't got this. She's really struggling. And so he hands the phone to somebody else to keep recording. And he goes up on the stage And, you know.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a powerful
moment
and yep. beautiful moment. And I knew who this author was, but can't say that I knew them. But I went up and talked to him about it afterward. And but she was saying that when they were going through her son's room, he had all of these little notes and things about, like, her stories and all of her books. And
so her writing meant a lot to him that maybe she didn't know.
Well, I mean, I think she had a hint, but maybe not to that degree. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because those two, that husband and wife, that were there together for each other, accepting that award and offering their thanks, they had been through a horrendous storm, and it didn't go the way they would have wanted it to. But the story's not over. Story is not over. When you have hope and when you put your trust in God and when your eyes are fixed on Him, the story doesn't end there. And so He is the everlasting rock, and He was holding them up and getting them through all of that. So,
that's a great story.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us here. And we appreciate you. We love you. And we look forward to seeing you next time.